Well, if you would open your Bibles with me to John 9, the Gospel of John, chapter 9. You know, we are almost done this series, Meet Jesus. And it's been, for me at least, very, very edifying, uplifting. I've loved every minute of it, looking at the seven I ams of Jesus, and now the seven signs of Jesus. We come to the sixth one this week. We have one more week, but the sixth sign is in John chapter 9. And we'll pray. Father, we thank you so much for Christ and for everything that he's done. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God we can come to. You are a God that sees and understands. You are a God that loves us. You are a God that sees through to the person, even when the world may not. And so we come to you, Father. We give everything to you, Lord. And we pray that you would be with us right now as we look to the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we learn from these and we build our faith, that you would use this time to draw us near. I pray, Lord, that nothing be said here this morning in your house that would not honor and glorify you, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a saying, you've all heard it, you can't judge a book by its cover, right? That's right, because, you know, no matter how something looks on the outside, you can't truly know what it is on the inside. Take this book, for example. Now, if I judged this particular book by its cover, I might conclude it's not worth reading. And here's why. That cover's pretty plain, isn't it? It's just a piece of black leather. I might think, you know, there's no author name on this, so maybe he didn't want his name on it because he's not proud of it. There's no fancy design to grab my attention. I might look at this and think, well, it's not all that impressive, and so I'm not gonna read it. But you know, if I did that, if I judged that book by its cover, I'd miss a whole lot. I would miss stories of love and betrayal, of murder, of conspiracy. I would miss stories of kings and queens and wars. I'd miss stories of epic battles that are so decisively won against such overwhelming odds that military historians actually study them for strategy to this very day. I would miss stories of underdogs rising to victory. I would miss the story of creation and revelation. I would miss the prophecies that talk all about the things to come. I would miss all the wisdom inside. I would miss the beautiful poetry that we find in the Psalms. I would miss heroes with superhuman strength, so strong they can knock down buildings with their bare hands. If I judged this book by its cover, I'd miss the greatest story ever told. I would miss the story of salvation and God's love and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and grace and everything about our wonderful Savior. If I judged this by its cover and said, because it doesn't look all that interesting, it's not worth reading, I would miss the Bible. You see, this piece of leather can't possibly tell us what's inside. And the same goes with people. The outer covering can't possibly tell us what's going on inside. In John 7, Jesus says, "Do not judge according to outward appearances, but with righteous judgment." You see, there's no way to know a person's story by the condition of their cover. In June of 1924, a boy was born in Hunt County, Texas, to a family that was fairly well off. But in elementary school, the father deserted the family and the boy was left to help provide. And so in fifth grade, he dropped out so he could go work in the cotton fields and put food on the table. Well, World War II rolled around and he tried to enlist. But the Marine Corps said he was too small to be of service, and so they sent him away. The Navy said exactly the same thing. Too small, we can't use you, go home. Eventually, the Army National Guard accepted him, and in 1942, he enlisted as a private and was shipped overseas to fight the Nazis. He fought in battle after battle, and in one particular battle, his men were being overrun, and he took the initiative to jump on a burning tank and man a machine gun, and for more than an hour, by himself, he held back the enemy and saved every one of his men. By the time the war was over, he had fought in dozens of campaigns. He had been the recipient of a battlefield commission from sergeant to second lieutenant. That's a big deal. He had received ribbons and medals and awards and citations, and for his actions on the tank that day, the Medal of Honor. By the time the war was over, Audie Murphy became the most decorated soldier in U.S. history, and it remains the same today. As we look to the sixth sign of Jesus here in John chapter 9, we're going to see another man with a cover that's not too impressive. A cover that looks a bit plain, you might say, even a bit tattered. And because of that cover, all the people around him don't think much of this man. Even the disciples take a look at him and they make all kinds of assumptions about his birth and his life and his parents and his family, all because of the way he looks. But it reminds me of the words in 1 Samuel 16, "For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." In other words, when the world is hung up on the cover, Jesus is reading the story. He's looking inside. He's looking at the person. And we want to look at this person, this blind man in John 9 that Jesus heals. Look with me to verse 1. "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to them, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He's like him.' He said, 'I am he.' Therefore they said to him, 'How were your eyes opened?' He answered and said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." So I went and washed, and I received sight.' Then they asked him, 'Where is he?' And he responded, 'I do not know.'" There was a shoe company that wanted to open up the market in Congo, Africa. And so they dispatched two salesmen to the region. And the first salesman came back and said, "Market potential nil. No one wears shoes." The other salesman said, "Market potential terrific. Everyone is barefoot." What is your perspective on life? When you look at things, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of person? When you come to a situation in life, how do you view it instinctively? What about people? How do you look at people when you first come across a new person? Here we have a man that the world has thought the worst of, and all because of a disability. This man is blind. But it's interesting how perspective changes, because when all the world is focused on is the problem, Jesus is looking at the person. And that's the first thing I want us to notice about this passage today, that no matter how busy it gets or how chaotic it gets or what's going on in the world, you have a God that sees and understands what you're going through. He sees your story. Look back to verse 1 of chapter 9. "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." Notice the word "saw." You know, in Greek, well, you might not know, but in Greek it's the word "harao." And it can be literally translated "perceived" or "experienced." It's more than just an observation. It's an intimate, personal understanding of what's going on. It's the same word John uses in chapter 5 when he's talking about Jesus and the man at the pool of Bethesda. He says, "When Jesus saw him," harao, "saw him lying there and knew he had been in that condition a long time." Jesus looked at the man and perceived everything that was going on about his life. And the same is true here. He sees this blind man and becomes emotionally invested in his situation. Keep that in your mind, but move it over for just a second and look at verse 59, the very last verse of chapter 8, right before we start our passage this morning. It says, "Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." So here we have two verses, and I want to put these together for you. Jesus has just escaped an assassination attempt. The Jews have picked up stones to throw at him, to kill him, because they're so angry about what he said. And so he's running out of the temple. He's exiting. He's escaping the assassination attempt. But as he's doing that, even in the midst of everything going on, he still notices this obscure blind man sitting off by himself. And not only does he see him in spite of everything going on, but he knows what's happening in his life. He sees the struggle. He knows the story, and he goes to help. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was running out of this church for my life, I hope that doesn't happen, by the way, but if it did, and I was fleeing for my safety, I would probably not notice anything on the way out. I would be so preoccupied with getting to safety that nothing would come across my attention. And you know, it doesn't have to be a life or death situation for that to happen. Anything that preoccupies our minds can cause us to not notice other things. Stuff in life can cause us to overlook other things. And we all have stuff going on. I remember when I was working at the window company in Albuquerque. It was a Friday afternoon, and I was excited to get home. It was the weekend. I was out, but I had to turn in one last report. And so I parked my truck at the door of the warehouse, and I had to walk through the warehouse to get to the manager's office. But I've walked this walk a dozen times that day, perhaps. Well, I'm walking, and I'm in a hurry, but I've got to turn this thing in before I can go home. It's the only thing standing in my way, and I'm reading it to make sure I've got everything, and then it happens. I ran right into a pole in front of everybody, and I fell down. I never lived that down, ever, forever while I was there. They would remind me of running into that pole. I was so focused on all my stuff that I wasn't paying attention to the world around me. But not noticing a pole is funny. It's painful, but it's funny. What happens when we don't notice a person? When we don't notice a need? When we say, you know, I'm too busy to help right now. I'm too preoccupied. I've got other stuff going on. I'll give later. I'll do it tomorrow. Call me another day. But right now, I'm too busy for you. You know, I would say if anybody ever had the right to say that, it would have been Jesus in this chapter. He has just escaped an attempt on his life. And as he's walking out or leaving the temple, he notices this blind man. Nobody would have blamed Christ if he would have just kept on going, but he doesn't. In the middle of all the chaos, he looks over, he sees the man, he stops what he's doing, and he goes to help. You see, there will never be so much going on in the world or in your life or in someone else's life that God will not know and understand what you're going through. You can always come to him with a problem. He always has time. So that's number one. Jesus sees your story. Second, a tattered cover doesn't mean the story's bad. Look at verse 2 again. "And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" You know, when Melissa was pregnant, I remember all the prenatal visits. You know, moms, dads, you remember these things. Going to the OB, getting checked, the blood work, the urine test, the measurements, the heart rate, all that stuff they want to check to make sure that the baby is developing properly. And you know, I learned that at just 17 weeks gestation, I mean, picture this, 17 weeks of pregnancy, they can do something called a fetal echocardiogram to tell whether or not the heart of that baby is developing properly. It is amazing what modern medicine can do to detect illness, even before we know it's there. Well, the disciples didn't have all of that. And so if a baby, if a person was born with a physical issue or ailment or deformity, they had no idea of knowing why, and so they would assume that it was one of two things: either the parents sinned or the baby sinned. And yes, they believed that a baby could sin in utero and be punished for that through birth. It sounds crazy, I know, but it's what they believed. They would look back to passages like Exodus 20 that says, "I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations." So when a baby was born, as in this case, without any sight, they would look at this child and they would say, "That's because of sin. This person, this baby is under divine judgment for some wickedness in either his life, her life, or the parent's life." And in fact, the Jews believed that all physical suffering was because of sin. If you look at the book of Job, you remember the book of Job, where Job is our poster child for suffering? Well, right after Satan afflicts Job with all the terrors he goes through, his friend by the name of Zophar comes to him in Job 11 and says, "God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves." How's that for a friend? "You know, Joe, I'm going through a hard time." "Well, you should know that you're not getting what you deserve." Terrible. Another friend says the same thing, a friend by the name of Bildad. Job 18, "The light of the wicked indeed goes out, Job. You're a bad guy, obviously. This is what you should expect." Even though in chapter 1, God says, "There is none like him, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil." A righteous man, a God-loving, God-fearing man going through something difficult in life, and everybody around him thought it must be because he was deep down a wicked guy. And the disciples think the same thing about this blind man here. They take one look at his disability and they assume that sin in his life must be to blame. But you know, assumptions can be a very dangerous thing. At least they were for one photographer who was scheduled to take pictures of a forest fire. But the forest fire was putting out so much smoke that he couldn't get a good shot. And so he calls his office and he says, "I can't see to take the picture." And the office says, "Well, go to the airport. We'll have a plane ready to take you up. You can get some aerial shots." So the photographer goes to the airport. He sees a plane gassing up and revving up on the runway. He jumps in. He tells the pilot, "All right, pilot, let's go. I'm ready." The pilot jumps in. They take off. The photographer says, "All right, I want you to go to the north end of the fire and do some low-level passes and come around again and do some other passes." And the pilot says, "Why would I do that?" Well, the photographer said, "Because I'm here to take pictures. That's what a photographer does." And the pilot says, "You mean you're not the instructor? This is my first day." The way things appear on the surface is not always what is actually going on underneath. And the same is true for this man here. Because he was blind, the Jews assumed he must have done something pretty bad in his life to get that kind of a judgment. And people say the same thing all the time. You know, "I don't know what I must have done, but it could have been really bad to go through what I'm going through right now." We've all heard that. "Well, I don't know what I did, but boy, I made God upset." And truthfully, God does use physical suffering to punish sin. There's examples of that all throughout the Bible. But not all suffering is because of sin. It's not like God is sitting up there in a one-on-one, one-for-one ratio. "Well, every time you do something bad, here's some suffering in your life." Suffering comes sometimes because suffering comes. Sometimes it comes for a higher reason. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." You know, my wife loves the thrift stores. She does. She's smiling. She does. A yard sale, a garage sale, it doesn't matter. If you're throwing it away, let us know. We might buy it for a quarter. It's okay. We have so much stuff in our house that we have got at a thrift store and fixed up and we're using to this day. You see, someone will look at this, myself included, and I will say that, you know, this thing is worn out. It's lived its life. There's no use for this, and I'm going to throw it away. But my wife can look at that and say, no, I can fix it up. It still has a lot to offer. Well, the disciples look at this man, and they say, he's worn. He's tattered. He doesn't even see. He's no good. This is a sinner under judgment. He's being condemned. But he's not condemned. He's been called. Someone said, he's not a man waiting for hell. He's a miracle waiting to happen. You see, there's a lot of people around today who look like they've been through the ringer of life. And oftentimes they have been. But you know, I find they're often the nicest people you'll ever meet. And on the other hand, there's people alive walking around today that look all put together. Everything is in its place where it should be. But inside, they're falling apart. You can't tell just by looking. So no matter what you're going through, Jesus sees your story. A tattered cover doesn't mean the story's bad. And finally, no matter how defeated you feel your story is, Jesus can give it a happy ending. Look at verse 6. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Some of the philosophers in the room or theologians in the room will recognize the name Oren Kierkegaard. Many of you won't. Oren Kierkegaard was a Danish theologian who lived during the 1800s, but he was a very smart, almost a genius kind of a mind. He still studied even to this day. Oren Kierkegaard tells a story of a goose flying overhead who's wounded one day. So he lands in the mud of a chicken coop in a farm below. Well, over time, his wound heals, but he's been eating with the chickens and living with the chickens and talking to the chickens and thinking like a chicken for so long by that point that he begins to think he's a chicken. That is until one day when he sees a flight of geese going overhead and he looks up and remembers that he was built for so much more than walking around in the mud with the chickens. And so he tries to fly and he starts to flap his wings, but it's been so long since he's taken to the skies that it hurts and he stops. And the goose never flies again and he resigns himself to a life in the mud with the chickens. And I think a lot of people are living their lives the same way. God has so much more planned for them, but they have settled for so much less. They think it'll never get any better. It can't get any better. I'm doing just fine. I've got a good job. I've got a nice family, plenty of friends. I live in a low-crime area. I don't need this Jesus guy telling me what time to get up on Sunday. I don't need another book to read and study. I'm doing just fine. You know, Jesus said in John 3, the light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. There's a lot of people who are living in darkness and think that's as good as it can get. But on the other hand, I've spoken with a lot of people who have come to Christ, and they will tell me that they thought they were happy. They thought that was all life had to offer them. They were doing well. They had all that stuff. But then when they came to the Lord and they developed a relationship with Jesus Christ, they saw how empty it really was. Once the light of salvation was shined into their lives, they could finally see that they were meant for so much more than they were allowing themselves to experience. Isaiah 9 says, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." And salvation is what this man's story represents. This isn't a story of how the Lord will cure every physical ailment you ever have. If that were true, nobody would ever get sick. There's people in this room right now who have had issues a long time and they get progressively worse. This is not a story of healing physically, but rather spiritually. This is a story that shows no matter how much a person suffers or how defeated they may feel, Jesus can give their story a happy ending. He can take a person out of spiritual darkness and put them in spiritual light. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in that condition. You know, this blind man was born that way. had lived his whole life without seeing a thing, no expectation whatsoever that it would get better. But once he meets Christ, his eyes are open in an instant and his story is changed. The Apostle Paul was another one who had a very similar experience. A persecutor of persecutors, he called himself. The worst threat to the Christian church of the first century. On his way to Damascus, where he was going to arrest more Christians to put them to death, Jesus intervenes and arrests him. He loses his sight, and after a few days, we read in Acts 19, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he received his sight and rose and was baptized. If Jesus can do that for Paul, if he can do this for the blind man, how much more can he do for you right now? You know, we all have a story. We all have a past. We all have mistakes we've done. And some of our stories up to this point have left our covers tattered and worn. Some of us have been beaten down. Life has taken its toll on us spiritually, emotionally, physically. But remember that Jesus knows your story. He knows everything you're going through. Nothing gets by him, not even this blind man sitting off by himself in the middle of all that chaos. He sees what you're going through, and he fully understands it. And just because your tattered cover shows doesn't mean the story inside is bad. This blind man had a tattered cover too. But what a great story. To be the instrument that Jesus will show salvation to the world through. And if you let him, just like he did for this man and just like he did for Paul, Jesus can give any person's story a happy ending, including yours. And he can do it today. As we pray, Father, we thank you so much that you work in our lives, that we have these incredible examples in the Bible to learn from and to be encouraged by, to have faith by, that we see you can work in the life of a person, that you can open the eyes of the blind. We know, Lord, that you are a God that sees us truly, that you look beyond the outer covering and you know what the heart is like. We thank you so much. And it is our prayer, Lord, that if there is anyone in our midst today that doesn't know you, that's maybe living a life thinking things are great and you might just be a neat curiosity to add on to the mix, if there's anybody here like that, that you would work in their hearts, that you would use this example to show that no matter what a person's going through, you can give us a happy ending, that you see the heart. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we go from here, that you would give us a burden and an opportunity to share this message with our communities and with our family and with our world around us. You know, our mission here is to know Christ and make him known. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us an opportunity to make him known, that other people would benefit from this story of Jesus healing a blind man as we have this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we do all that, it would be done to your honor and your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen.